salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, live and in color, and a little bit chilly again this morning from Panama City, Florida. We should sleep outside. They keep it warmer outside than they do inside the church. And it's what? It's 7 o'clock Eastern time. It's 6 o'clock Central time. And guys have been sitting over here huddling up around each other for about an hour trying to get warm. I don't know whether they try to conserve energy in the night and they turn the thing down here or not. Hey, hey, happy Valentine's Day out there. Happy Valentine's Day to Michelle. I know that Michelle, 2 grandbabies, stayed with her last night. Love you, sweetheart. How many years? 39 years, heading on 40. It's also happy birthday to my mom. 95th birthday today. Pearl Valentine Dobenmeyer. Mom's been, passed away, I don't know, 5 years ago. I lose track of time. Pearl was a jewel, man. My mom was a jewel. And, you know, it's like everything else. You don't appreciate your parents till they're not around anymore. And you realize that the older you get, the smarter your dad becomes. Somebody say amen on that. The older you get, the smarter your dad becomes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And, that's right. And I often think of.
Amen, Coach.
If there was a part of my life that I really had to do over again, it would have been probably the last 10 years of my parents' life to really, really, now that I'm a grandparent, understand the love of your grandchildren and the joy that the grandkids bring in their life and understand. This hit me yesterday. I cannot believe. See, the Bible says that the eyes are the windows of the soul. The eyes are. You can look in somebody's eyes and you can look deep inside as to who they are, that spark of life that's inside of them. The eyes are the windows of the soul. You know, the reverse works as well. And that's a two-way window. Some of you are going to know what I'm talking about, and some of you will not understand because you're not old enough yet. We were cutting up some trees yesterday, and I was walking through this field where there's the branches. There are branches laying everywhere. So you know how you get those little branches that trip you up that you don't see. And I realized I was walking through this field. I really wasn't even carrying anything. I was just kind of walking through. And the next thing I know, boom, I'm tripping and falling, trying to catch myself, boom, and down. And I get back up, and I turn around, and I look. And the branch that tripped me was about that high off the ground. I mean, it was like nothing. It wasn't even a branch. And I thought, what the heck? I said to myself, pick up your feet. Quit dragging your toes, I'm saying to myself. And then I'm 66 years old. And when I look out my eyes, I'm still 15. For some reason, it's cognitive dissonance. My mind hadn't caught up with how old I am. And if I'd have fallen, I'd have broken my shoulder, or I'd done something, the emergency squad would have come, and they'd have said, the report would have said, 66-year-old man fell today, and blah, 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 blah. And everybody reading that would have said, yeah, some old man fell. Don't let that old man in, right? Don't let that old man in. It's amazing. It's just amazing. By the way, that Clint Eastwood song, I got thinking about that. Don't let that old man in. Jared, see if you can dig that up for me, Jared. I want to play that thing again because I got thinking about another aspect of that song. Don't let that old man in. I'm a new man in Christ. I think the greatest struggle most of us have throughout our life is not letting that old sinful man back in. Boy, he's always knocking, wanting to get in there, isn't he? He's always wanting to come out. Don't let that old man in, man. Once you let that old guy back in there. Let's thank you today. I thank God today that I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the grace of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. I thank you that old man's dead. And I thank you every day when he tries to resurrect his head and try to pop himself and start looking back outside my eyes, that I have the power of Christ inside me to hold him back down, that there's no temptations come upon me, but that which is common to man, that God is faithful and he'll not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we can withstand, but with that temptation, he will give us a way out. I thank God for that every day. Because as David Arthur's taught me, he doesn't even know he taught me, the difference between, well, clarified, difference between this spiritual man and a carnal man. So you can kill that old man. Don't let that old man in. You can kill that old man. But that old carnal boy, that residue, he keeps wanting to pop up against his head. And listen, I'm on what do they call that stream of consciousness right now? Because I was thinking about this. I was 66 years. I'm looking, there's Larry and there's Randy from Oklahoma, Larry from South Carolina, and Randy from Oklahoma, and Gary sitting over there from Pennsylvania, and John from Ohio, and Jim from the other side of Ohio, and others are moving around here. We got 12 different states represented here. And except for Rodney, I know you're probably out there listening. Rodney, I hope you are out there listening. I don't know about you guys. In the last couple of years, I have a whole new cadre of friends. And how the Lord could have done that in my life at 63. Totally, a total upheaval in friendships in my life. I don't know how it happened. But God's always doing a new thing in our lives if we wake up and allow him to, and come to the realization that friends pass through your life just like boats. And the fact that they don't hang around, the fact that they're heading towards a different direction doesn't mean they're not your friends. Doesn't mean they're not important to you, but you find yourself swimming in a different school all the time, don't you? And I just thank God that at 66 years old here on Valentine's Day, my mom's 95th birthday, he's brought a lot more new school of fish. I'm hanging with a new school of fish. And I think I could bring every one of these guys. I could bring Dan on here. I could bring every one of these guys in here, and they're going to tell you something, that they've never been around such men that we're dealing with down here in Panama City, to the point where there's old Don Marshall coming down through there. I think I could call any of these guys and they'd have my back. They would come and have my back. And I could tell you this. I said this to somebody yesterday. I can count on one hand the number of true friends I have. And I can count on 10 hands the number of friends who betrayed me. Somebody say amen. Because that's good, huh? The number of true friends. And you know what's really happening in my life? This hand with only five, that baby's increasing every day. And it's increasing because I come down there and I hang with these guys and I see what they're made of. And see that their desire is to be men of God. It's what they want to be. They want to be men of God. And for the most part, when you live your Christian life, or however you're walking out your Christian life, come on, you can be honest with me today. You're not around Christian men. Oh, you may be around men who say they're Christians. But you're not around Christian men. Not very often. And the hunger and the appreciation that goes on down here is something that every time I come down, it's beyond what I can even explain. So Chad sent a, this popped in my brain, Chad. It's the way my brain works. He sent a text to Gary this morning, and Gary shared it with me. And Chad has a concern. It's a good concern. That we're not branding that Salt and Light Brigade name. And we don't want to brand the Salt and Light Brigade name because we want to be famous. But we want to brand the Salt and Light name because it brings credibility. That we don't just have a huddle in Iowa. We do have a huddle in Iowa, but it's a Salt and Light Brigade huddle. That when we do that, we have to attach that name to it. So at some point, as this thing continues to expand, the Salt and Light Brigade has a little bit more impact because people have heard of it. Now, I like the idea of huddle. I'm going to stay with the word huddle because I think it's a great football term. And so we're going to hang in there with it. So happy birthday to my mom. Happy Valentine's Day to my wife. Happy Valentine's Day to all the new friends that I have down here. And it's been quite a journey. Anybody want to amen anything on that I just said about the relationships in particular that are being developed? I'm sorry with my camera. I'm so with the relationships that are being developed. And by the way, I feel guilty about this one. Has anybody checked in on Todd Barham for me? I've been so daggone busy. I haven't. Is Todd even in here with us? I didn't even look to see if that's true. Does anybody know how he's doing? Does he? Anything he needs, or are we checking on one another here, boys and girls?
Well, Dave.
Yeah,
I know Josh and Katie went down there, and they're making them meals and stuff like that. And they bought them a freezer, and they're preparing everything for him. So when he gets released out of there, they don't have to do anything except kind of heat them up and maybe add a little accessories to it. So kudos out to Josh and Katie that had the foresight to get down there and do that. I'm grateful for them.
Amen. Amen. And this is really, you guys are missing out on, this is really a fellowship and a brotherhood. I remember I had a fellowship and a brotherhood when I was in a fraternity. That was pagan. Really, right? That lasted about 3 years of my life. But this fellowship and the brotherhood of the saints is something that's very, very, very real. And at 66 years old, I hate to keep harping on that, but every time I say that, I just think, can't think of 60. Are you kidding me? The Lord's given me better friends than I've ever had. And I just want all of you to know that how much I appreciate it. As my wife, I'll get that later. Let me see you. Let me get to my file here. See what I'm supposed to be talking about. We got a lot of work done yesterday. I don't want to see that. I'll get to that. Oh yeah, Jared, go to my Facebook page real quick here. I'm gonna show you guys. We went out to eat last night on Roger, and we had a great time. There are 25 of us. Roger paid for. He doesn't know yet. He's gonna get the bill. It'll be a good one, Roger. Be a good bill. But it was a very hearty time together. We had a great time. So, Jared, are you – I'm sorry. I'm having some trouble here this morning. Okay, cool. Jared, go down there. I want you guys to see one. Go down there, Jared. One more. Slide down a little bit lower, bud. I want to give you all an example of what we did. Go to the one before. And the next one down there. Yeah, one more. Okay, now. One more. Okay, right there. Now, folks, just give you an idea what we do. We've done this in 16 – Gary was telling me today, 16 different homes. Some jobs bigger than others, some smaller than others. I've tried to keep these videos very, very short, just so you get an idea. So yesterday this is one we showed up on, what was the name of that street, Larry, we showed up on yesterday? Last 11th Street, 11th Court or something like that. 11th Street Court. And some guy wants to put some, well, so here's what it looked like before we got gone. So here's what we do. Go ahead, Jared.
Okay, friends, this is our second job of the day here. This is Wednesday the 12th. No, 13th, I think it is. They all run together.
That's Randy and his son there.
Hi. Randy Lunsford from Nathan. This is he just bought this property. He's going to put his house trailer on it. And then this happens. And as you can see, that goes back in there quite a bit. So we're going to get this thing rolling here. Try to curve this thing out.
So the guy wants to put house trailers in there. And this is what it's been 4 months. He's been waiting for somebody to help him out. So this crew shows up there in about 2.5 hours. Now, Jared, go to the top. That's some of the work that's going on. John, go ahead and play that a second there. Jared, back down there a minute. This is John. And after we get it cleared out, this is John Hartzler and that's John with the saw right there. Look at the size of these trees they're cutting up. Go ahead. It's only a minute.
Thanks, John. Yeah, very straight.
Okay, what I got.
Randy's the back of this thing, baby.
to come down.
Watch it rolling, Gary. It'll roll.
John's going to pop her loose over here and see if this thing rolls here now. There we go. So I don't know how many times we did that action right there, cutting up a tree. And then we got the big tractors come and pick it up. And here's the end product at that one lot we were just at. Go ahead and do that.
Well, friends, I was standing here about 2.5 hours ago, basically at this very spot. All those trees are here. And about two and a half hours later is what we got. Understand this, it's been 5 months. So the guy told me 5 months. This stuff's been on the ground, and this guy's not been able to get it out of here. And we showed up here, brought the right equipment with us, and in 2.5 hours, we got stuff out. There's places like this all throughout this town. So we just thank all of you, especially these guys here. They're grateful that he came, and he's going to put that right in here. Couldn't have done it without this group.
So that's what we do, and we did yesterday, 16, not yesterday, we've done 16 different homes. Some of them bigger than this, some of them smaller than this, and no, they will never be able to repay us. They never will. But they'll remember that some guys showed up with cross hats on and saws and tractors and stuff, and 4 months, however long, that's been laying there. Guys, folks, this is every block in Panama City. I'm just telling you, every block in Panama City. You say, well, Coach, how did you figure out who to work with? Well, we go to the church, and they got jobs posted on the board. And Gary's just been doing unbelievable work. He just figures them all out and gets our crews moving. We got, yesterday, I think we had 4 crews. We combined them a little bit, and we go out, and Larry makes all the meals and brings them to us. We work till the sun about to come down, and come back in and have a little bit of fellowship. So just an update on what's going on here. It's been really, really good. And if some of you who haven't, I'm not trying to guilt trip anybody. We still really haven't met our budget down here. Lord will take care of it. But if you feel so inclined, you see what we're doing with it. So praise the Lord on that one. Okay. Anything for the good of the group? Two things.
Hey,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Hey, brother.
Hey,
may I share the little testimony yesterday that I had?
Listen, folks, I want to tell you something. I love Dale Socha. And I'm going to tell you why. I love Dale Socha because Dale Socha is a pastor who ain't a pastor. Dale Socha is a pastor. He's one of us, right? And the idea of being a pastor, that mantle falls on some people and they're called to be leaders. And some people take that position and they hoard it all over everybody else. And Dale Socha takes the term pastor and he takes it to serve. You could be around Dale Socha. He can do about anything, flooring, tree. He can do about anything, and you would never know. You would never know that he's a man of authority. So we just honor you, Dale. Thank you for coming down here and help us and tell that wonderful story that happened to you yesterday.
Hey, brother, it's a great testimony. I mean, that one word, Dangerous Dan, fell off the roof. I was sharing that last night at church, but that's just incredible. I said, but you know, here I was, my worship pastor's mom's house right there in the bay. And she had this tree that was so massive and there was a big limb that was broke off. And I said, if that thing falls on somebody, that limb, it's going to kill them. I said, you know, and I'd already let the other guys go. They did what they needed to do. They met up with you. So I'm cutting this tree. I have an 18-inch blade. Brother, I'm cutting on this thing for about an hour, and I've got my blade buried into the tree as far as I can, all the way around this tree. And I'm like, it was a massive tree. And I'm thinking, I can't leave it like this, and I might have to call somebody who has a 24-inch blade. And I did. I just, Lord, I need a little help here. And Coach, you know, and I know, it was a windy morning. It was a windy morning. And all of a sudden, this gust comes, and all of a sudden, I hear the tree. And great was this fall. I was like, glory.
So the Lord came along and pushed it over so you could get back home where you needed to be, huh?
He breathed on it. No, brother, you know what? You know what's crazy is that I drove away from that place missing you guys.
Amen.
And the fellowship to, man, to meet up with the guys that I hear the voices. And I mean, it's like the people, the crew that I was put on, you know, it could have been anybody. And of course, they were all fantastic. They really were. But, you know, people that I know that they know, you know, it was just really cool that the Lord put that team together like that. And I know they were all fantastic teams. I appreciate you, Coach. I mean, listen, you got more than five friends. You know that. You got more than five that's got your back on one finger. I promise you. I know you do.
Gary. Thanks, Dale. Let Jim, Tree Limb Jim can't get in here. Thanks. Yeah, I know it too, man. It truly is a band of brothers. Gary Don, who's running across the floor right here. Come over here real quick, Gary. Jump over here real quick. I want Gary to, Gary and I were just having a conversation. Gary, let me get you up here, buddy. Let's get us up. I'm sorry, folks. I'm hitting all kinds of things. Gary can't even see himself. I want him to know. I want him to be able to see me. I'm using Victor's new computer. There we are. All right, so we can see your face. So, Gary, tell me what you were saying yesterday about, or just this morning about, wanting to get to retirement so you can get out there and do more of this kind of stuff. What, right. Gary's come all the way from Pennsylvania. He's getting ready to leave this morning. Just fill people in on that, Gary.
Well, I just want to spend more time serving. I want to be able to retire so that I can do more for the kingdom. You know, not sit on a beach somewhere and just relax. But now it's time to get to work. You know, that's how I see it. Moving to the next step. Now, you know, what have you done for the kingdom? That's what you got to ask. You know?
Especially in your last years, right, Gary?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm getting to the point where he can probably retire.
And you got time
a little bit.
To do it. And you got time.
Good time. It, you know? Listen, folks, if you're out there and you're struggling with it, get a part-time job. Retire and get a part-time job. You only have so much life left and so much time that you're going to be able to be. You'll soon be 66 and tripping on twigs. You understand what I'm telling you? So Gary's saying,
we're
listen.
58 and tripping on twigs.
58 and tripping on twigs. It doesn't matter. But look at this, Gary. You look like you're a big monster. And I'm down. I'm sitting down. Gary's stooping. There we go. Okay, now I feel a little bit better. So Gary's all in, man. He's all in, and we appreciate you coming down, Gary. All right, buddy. God bless. So that's what it's about, man. That's what it's about, and it's a great crew. Most of us going to check out of here tomorrow. Come on in. I'm getting ready to go someplace. Go ahead.
Coach, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, I believe, mm-hmm. verse 38. This is what spurns me to serve. His disciples came to him because they said that the Lord had not eaten. They said, Lord, he says, I have meat you know not of.
Amen.
And it is to do the will of him who has sent me and to accomplish that work. The mystery of serving and finishing the job is a meat that comes from the Holy Ghost, brother, that most church people don't even realize.
So Dale, on that note, Jared, pull up. It says Leonard Ravenhill. Somebody who sent me this. Somebody sent me this morning, and even here, when I'm an hour behind, I got up and watched it. Are you saved? This is 5 minutes. This is Leonard Ravenhill. We've all heard of Leonard Ravenhill, and man, this I watched this today. I thought, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Everybody needs to hear this and ponder on this one a second. So Jared, go ahead and play that one. Did you find it there, bud? Okay. And so again, that's one of the things that we're learning as we come down here, man. What's your life about? What's the legacy that you're going to live? And, you know, listen, you're out there and you're counting on your retirement. You know, that stuff could disappear tomorrow. You guys know that? You know that your retirement could disappear in some type of stock market crash. It could all be gone tomorrow. So when you're sitting around and you're storing up and you say, well, if I can just get 3 more years or I just get in 4 more years, well, good luck. Good luck. There's no guarantee, man. There's no guarantee. So I say get unhinged from the world as soon as you possibly can, and live life fully for the Lord. So this is a 5-minute video of Leonard Ravenhill, and it's really about, are you saved? I think this will speak to some of your hearts. Go ahead and play it.
90% of the people in the nation are not saved. They claim to be. Well, I went to an altar and I confessed my sins. Fine. That's what the preacher said. You confess your sins. And you confess them. Do you know they did that in every Roman Catholic church in the country last Sunday? A man needs more than to be forgiven. He needs cleansing. He needs more than cleansing. He needs indwelling. He needs more than indwelling. He needs enduing. If I were to ask you tonight, you're saved, do you say, yes, I'm saved? When? Oh, so-and-so preached, I got baptized, I'm saved. Are you saved? What are you saved from? Hell? Are you saved from bitterness? Are you saved from lust? Are you saved from cheating? Are you saved from lying? Are you saved from bad manners? Are you saved from rebelling against your parents? Come on, what are you saved from? I'm not asking you tonight, did you one night kneel down and make confession, and after that your life was no change, your lifestyle was no different, your appetites were no different, your prayer life was no different? Come on. Isn't it offensive to say to people, listen, you may be a genius, you have a colossal intellect, if you fall out of bed you invent something, but do you know right in the center of you, you're dead, because you have no living relationship with God. Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin. If I say most people are half saved, will you know what I mean? I mean this, you go to the cross, but you never get on the cross. You go and get your sins forgiven and feel happy, and you go do the same lousy thing again the next day. Come on, what kind of a salvation is that? The miracle of the new birth is this, that when a man is really born, when he gets this life, he doesn't want that life. Okay, so Paul says, if you have risen with Christ, or you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, which where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not things on... Come on, you fellas, now. Okay, you're saved. And yet, I guess you talk more about baseball than you talk about Jesus. Is that right? Do you know how you need entertainment? Or any of us? You only need entertainment when you've lost the joy of the Lord. Listen, are you just a Sunday morning Christian? Do you live and move and have your being in Jesus Christ every waking moment of your life? Has he got your thinking? But look at his figure for a moment. Here is a man stretched on a cross. As soon as that man is nailed to the cross, he has no rights of his own. You can take a bucket of filth and throw it over him. You can take a stick, if you like, and break his legs. You can have a game of pitching rocks and you knock his right eye out, I'll knock his left eye out, and so forth. He's no rights. He can be battered and bleeding and broken. I remember going through India, there were beasts, there were birds that were this height from the ground. They have about an 8-foot wingspan. They keep their necks in until they fly, and then out comes this long neck with no feathers. They look hideous. They beaks, oh, they must be this length, huge, curved things. You know what they do? They go onto the arms of the cross as the light comes up, daylight. And those big, hideous things reach down and peck out the eyes if they're still there, and they tear the body. And it becomes bloody, and the entrails run out of the man, and the blood runs on the ground, and the dogs come out of the city to drink of the blood. Even a woman who saw her son or husband crucified would never go back in the morning. You didn't see a woman with her arms around a bleeding, horrible, wretched form of a man saying, darling, I love you. And Paul says, that's what the world is to me. It's a system of corruption and rottenness and vileness. It's anti-Christ from the world go. Is the world crucified to you tonight? Or does it fascinate you? Oh, I'm coming down the line. I mean, Jesus isn't looking for some sissies to serve him. He's looking for some men with guts and men with grace and men with determination. You still comfortable to sit in a ballpark and say, here, somebody take the name of Jesus in vain? Look, if you haven't got hold of this, get hold of it now. You can't impress God. Let me tell you this. An experience of God that costs nothing does nothing. And it's worth nothing. What the church has had in the last 25 years has not moved this nation or this world to God. It's time for something new. And God wants some men who are really drunk, intoxicated with the Spirit of God, who have a love life with the Lord Jesus, that he can ask anything of you and he'll do it. But how many of you guys are eaten up with lust? You women eaten up with jealousy, with pride? Or is it just chronic laziness? You've no appetite for this love letter of God's. You know, I hear people go to conferences, meetings, and they say, boy, that was good. Boy, were we challenged. Every meeting, we were challenged. And the question isn't, were you challenged? The question is, were you changed? I'm going to ask you a simple question tonight. How many of you are here tonight? You've come from many parts, and I'm asking you to keep your eyes closed, not look around. How many of you say tonight, I do not know that Christ lives in me. Christ is not indwelling me. I know that.
Wow. Huh? That's pretty powerful. There are several one-liners in there that really, really, as I listen to that, think, oh my goodness, that's a mic drop. Boom, there's a mic drop. Boom, there's a mic drop.
Hey, yeah, Coach.
Hang just a second, Paul, because it gets back to, don't let that old man in, see? So we've gone to we walked to the altar, we've said a prayer, we've accepted Christ, but there's been no change. For most guys, there's been no real change in their lives. No real crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Not very little of it. The lure, that old man in the world constantly trying to draw us and lure us back. Boy, that dude is hard to get away from. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I was just going to say that basically that's what a lot of times conferences and things are good, but it's like what you guys are doing is you're actually applying your works to your faith, you know? And that's what I think a lot of it is that they're not applying it to something. It's just knowledge, head knowledge, you know?
That's right. It's the fellowship of the saints, see? And you know what we see here? It is amazing. All the many gifts and skills that are within the body. Funny thing happened last night. Just as we're all getting ready to go out to eat, they have portable showers they pull in for us. It's a trailer, portable showers. And somebody made the wise decision that they were going to connect a new set of portable showers just as everybody's getting ready to take a shower. So you know what happens? They take the good ones away that work, and they bring a new one in, and they're connecting the new one, and you know what's going on. Everybody's standing in line, take a shower, and the shower doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so we're trying to not have our hats boil off the top of our head because we want to go out and have this nice meal last night. And all of a sudden I look over there and there's Merle and there's Craig. And they're looking at this thing and I'm thinking, Lord, they're going to fix this. These guys can fix stuff. And I'm sitting back and I'm thinking, I don't even know. Those hoses are running in, and I see Merle over there. He said, well, this one's supposed to go here, and this one here, and this is an outlet valve, and this is an inlet valve. And I'm thinking, what are you guys talking about? And I said, Lord, I believe in Merle. I believe in Merle. He's going to get this thing running. And it 10, 15 minutes switching some hoses around. And I said, you know what? If we went and we got on the phone and we called the repairman, hey, listen, we got this shower thing out here and ain't working. Can you send us a repairman? They just sent us Merle, and he was right with us. See, those are the gifts that are in the body, and we still don't get it, and we still don't appreciate the gifts of one another, and we get jealous over each other's gifts, and we sit on our gifts, and we do not exercise what it is the Lord has given us to do. And the thing that I'm most proud about with this entire Salt and Light Brigade thing is we are letting guys use their gifts. They're using their gifts. And when they use their gift, their faith comes alive. Oh my goodness, how we so messed up, church. God, Lord help me. Anybody want to amen to that one?
Amen.
Larry amened it over. Huh? Larry, I mean, it's so apparent, man. It's just so apparent. God, help us with the church, Lord, to figure this thing out. This thing called the church and what we're supposed to be. Hey, Jared, don't let that old man in. Go in there and play. Hey, folks, listen. This is the battle that we fight every day. Now, listen, when you're listening to this, remember there's a natural component to this. When I first heard the song, Don't Let the Old Man In, I'm thinking, I don't want to get old. I want to stay young. But Dan's over here. I don't know where Dan is. I'm not embarrassing Dan. I can pick any one of you that are watching right now. The greatest battle you have in your life is you keep letting that old man in. That old man that you died and crucified and buried, he keeps coming back and knocking on your door, and you let him in. And this song is about a man who's old, and he's trying not to be old, not letting the old man in, but there is a spiritual component to it as well. Don't let that old man in. Go ahead, Jared.
Don't let the old man in. I wanna live it some more. Can't leave it up to him.
Amen. Don't leave it up to him.
He's she's knocking on my door. And I knew all of my life that someday it would end. Get up and go outside.
Don't let that old man in.
Don't let the old man in. Many moons I have lived, my body's withered and worn.
Somebody help me, Earl.
Ask yourself, how old would you be?
How old would you be if you didn't know the day you were born?
Try to love on your wife and stay close to your friends. Toast each sundown with wine. Don't let the old man in. Body's weathered and worn. Ask yourself, how old would you be if you didn't know the day you were born? When he rides up on his horse and you feel that cold bitter wind, look out your window and smile. The old man in. Look out your window and smile. Don't let the old man in.
Yes, sir. Don't let that old man in, baby. That ask yourself how old you would be if you didn't know the day you were born again. It's a born again, man. It's a born again life. Don't let that old man keeps wanting to creep back in there, man. Drag you back down, pull you back down. Don't let him in. Don't let him do it to you. Amen. Amen. Cool. Got something else I want to show you. Somebody want to jump in on that real quick? What time is it here? Ah, we got a few minutes left. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Live life to the fullest.
Brother, don't let that old man in. Don't let that old man in. I got so much I want to get. Okay, let's go here, Jared. Let's go here. Click on that, Jared. Planned Parenthood kept babies alive. I'm sorry if I've been spending a lot of time the last week or so on abortion, but I'm spending a lot of time on abortion because, boys and girls, this is the battle, and this battle can be won. This is the battle, and this battle can be won. And remember that the scriptures tell us that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And we're seeing more and more and more the true face of abortion. And all the platitudes and words and language that they use, pro-choice, fetus, women's health care, everything but what it is. Everything but what it is. And I want you to always keep in mind this. Without Jesus Christ, how dark and deep could your life be? Meaning what? If I was running Planned Parenthood, if I was involved somewhere, some way with that conglomerate, I'm getting $500 million tax dollars, and I got the support of the courts, and I got the support of the Congress, and I got the support of the FBI. I got support, all the support I want to, and all the money I can make, and I knew nobody was ever going to catch me. How deep and dark could I go? How deep and dark could you go? And we're beginning to see that right now. Yeah, George.
You know, it makes me think that there's probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people involved in the Planned Parenthood and pro-abortion. And you know what? I'll bet you the vast majority of them have never even seen an abortion. I'm talking even like what Mark Harrington does on his screens.
Right.
And you know, the left is, I think they're overplaying their hand, because the more they show, the more that the average citizen that says, hey, I'm pro-abortion, they don't even know what they're talking about. They see the graphic images.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to play into our hands, Coach, because you know what? How can you look, how can you look at the killing of an innocent little baby and physically see it and be for? So I think that's why it's important we support the Mark Harringtons and the people that are out there putting those graphic images in front of people, because I think that's making a huge difference.
So, George, I agree. And I was watching a video the other day. Stuff comes across your desk. You look at it. PETA was upset because they were killing cows, people eating cows, right? And they showed that at the slaughterhouse how they handle these cows. These cows come walking off of the thing, and they take a sledgehammer and hit those cows right in the middle between the eyes and kill them, right? You guys ever seen that? And I couldn't even watch it, man. I couldn't even watch it. I love hamburgers. I love hamburgers. I couldn't even watch it, you know? And it's the same thing, see? People love abortion, but they don't know what it is. They don't want to see what it is. Come on in.
No, I was just saying, you talk about that. I went as a seventh grader. I went to the Newhoff meat packing plant and saw how they made hot dogs and beef and all that. It was pretty interesting.
Uh-huh.
And you think about that, and it's like, that's what they're doing at the abortion mill. That's exactly what they're doing. They're just divvying up the parts.
That's right, brother. What do we think they're doing? So look, Jared, did I say it? Is it up there on the screen? Planned Parenthood has been caught keeping babies alive. Look at that. Planned Parenthood kept babies alive in order to harvest their brains and their hearts. Can you imagine if we saw one video of that? If the media was honest and they showed us one video of that, of keeping one of those babies. Hey, folks, the governor in Virginia talked about it, didn't he? Keep them comfortable and then killing it, murdering it. Goodness gracious. I'm going to show you right now why Donald Trump's going to be reelected. And he's going to be reelected because of the favor of the Lord that's upon him. Jared, pull up that Donald Trump video. It says Trump. And then go to the 33 minute and 10 second. Vic, this is down in Victor's area, down at El Paso, Texas, last week. Donald Trump saying what most pastors won't say and what very few politicians have ever said, and he said it again, and he's speaking it in a language that people are understanding. And that's why I said yesterday, the Lord directed me to say that we better realize that the enemy has moved to the states. The enemy is going to get to the states and try to change the laws in the states before the church wakes up. And I'm excited today because Georgia and Oklahoma and in Iowa and in Ohio and in Texas, people are finally beginning to get the states' rights thing. They're finally beginning to understand what's going on. And we have got to move in now and push hard to continue to reveal the evil of abortion. Now, here's President Trump at El Paso, Texas. You can say, oh, yeah, well, he's just a politician. He's supposed to say that. Oh, yeah, well, why aren't the others saying it? And see, he is bringing again, the Lord is using. What is Donald Trump? He's an unveiler. He's a revealer. He's an exposer. And he is once again exposing to the world this evil of abortion in a way that the average person can understand. And if the church misses this opportunity, I'm telling you, if the church misses this opportunity. So, Jared, pull Trump up here. Put it about the 33-minute and 10-second mark, and let's listen to him. You tell me. Hey, hang on a second. Listen, if you can't see the anointing of God on this man. I don't know where he is with his faith, but if you can't see the anointing, the power of God on him and on his words, brother, you need to go get dunked again. That's all I tell you. Leonard Ravenhill, if there ain't no transformation in you, if you can't see this, if you're still some of those that say, well, yeah, he grabs pussies and he's a, yeah, if you're still stuck there, there's something wrong with you.
Amen.
go ahead. Go ahead.
Pushing extreme late term abortion. Allowing children to be ripped from their mother's womb right up until the moment of birth. What's that all about? So in Virginia, the governor, he's gotten a little publicity lately. I like him. Keeps us out of the papers. I like him. I'd like to find a few more guys like this one. He almost moonwalked. His wife stopped him. Darling, darling, it would be inappropriate. I want to see somebody try and imitate Michael Jackson in the moonwalk. This would not have been a good scene. His wife saved him. Darling, this would be inappropriate. I think she was right. But the governor stated that he would even allow a newborn baby to come out into the world and wrap the baby and make the baby comfortable and then talk to the mother and talk to the father and then execute the baby.
What word? Executed! They're executing babies!
Incredible. Millions of innocent, beautiful babies are counting on us to protect them, and we will.
Amen!
That is why last week I called on Congress with your great congressman over there. Thank you, fellas. To immediately pass legislation prohibiting extreme late-term abortion. And that certainly is extreme. Many people never even heard. I mean, did you ever hear of anything like this? Democrats must also address double standard on full display Virginia.
Jared, you can shut it. There he is. Huh? He's the exposer. He's the great exposer, man. And he's saying,
hey, Coach.
Yeah, Paul.
He also met with Cuomo, and he berated him about that New York law when he was speaking to Cuomo in a meeting. Uh-huh. So he's bringing it out there. And I don't think he's using it as a political tool. I think he really means it.
I believe he does too. You know what? You know what happened to him, Paul? Somebody got to him. He saw the pictures, and he said, "You can't have a functioning conscience and see those pictures and say that that's okay, right?" He saw that, and what did he say? "We're going to protect him. We're going to protect him." He said, "Not
hey, coach.
We're going to protect him." Yeah.
Okay, so no matter what people think of Trump. He's basically giving us our cue. This is like a Broadway production. It's like, okay, Amen. It's your turn to come in. This
That's
is your part.
Interstage Amen. Right, Church. Come Amen. On in.
Amen.
Clean up Amen. On aisle seven.
Amen.
Clean up on aisle Amen. Seven.
Our part, Coach, now, goodness sakes, if we just put pressure on our politicians right now, Trump has – he set the stage. Let the play begin.
He's clearing Amen. Out the brush, isn't he? Clearing Amen. Out the brush. Clearing out the brush. Ooh. All right, Lord. Listen, folks. Listen to me. I got we all know the 23rd Psalm. We all know it. And there's well, that's not true. Most people at least have heard of the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they come. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And see, because we are so stinking self-centered, we think that means that goodness and mercy are following around behind us, just waiting to bless us. Just waiting. Goodness and mercy everywhere I go. We pray the 23rd Psalm because bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord. Goodness and mercy is following me. Thank you, Lord, for that goodness and mercy. It's following me. See, that's not what it is. You, listen to me. Goodness and mercy is following Donald Trump right now. Donald Trump is a bulldozer. He's a brush cutter, and he goes through and he clears the brush. And when he clears the brush, goodness and mercy can follow him. See, we can rush in to the area he's cleared. But I'm going to tell you something. If you've done any brush work at all, you better know this. You cut it down in the winter, because if you try to cut that stuff down in the spring, you ain't never going to cut it down, because it's going to multiply and grow. And Trump is coming through with his brush hog, and he is cutting everything down, and he's waiting for goodness and mercy to follow him.
Cutting the obstacles out that we might see what's before us, Coach.
Cutting the obstacles down that we might be able to see what's really going on and let goodness and mercy rush in. And I'm just telling you, if we miss this opportunity, Lord help us. Yeah, come on, Vinny.
No, I was going to say, Coach, if you noticed – I don't know if what's happening around the world. A lot of these global organizations are saying that they're being they're backing off, like Brexit's coming back. There's Brazil. You've got a new Christian prime minister or president, and so a lot's happening. And the globalists, in many ways, are losing the battle. But you know they're those sneaky devils are going to try to come back another way. But I think what it is, it's an opportunity, like George said, for us to rise up and start taking advantage of the opportunity, because that window is going to close. And when it closes, that's going to be it.
Hey, Denny, not in Iowa. Not in Iowa. They ain't going to kill babies in Iowa. That's got to be our attitude. So now that we understand this whole facade of Roe versus Wade and the judicial supremacy and all these lies that they've told us, and the church has sat by silently and allowed them to continue to murder babies. Hey, listen, it ain't about just late-term babies. It's about every baby created in the image of God. The church has sat by. Now that the mask is off and now that the bulldozers come through, where's goodness and mercy rushing in and say, not in Iowa, not in Oklahoma, not in Texas, they ain't going to. That's why I keep saying, listen, we better learn to fight and win on our home turf. Let's quit fighting in Illinois. Let's quit fighting in New York. Let's quit fighting in California. Let's quit fighting. Let's fight in Oklahoma and Texas and Ohio, places where we can win. Boys and girls, it's more than time. It's time. All right. Nobody, somebody, anybody, everybody.
Amen, Coach.
Amen. Amen. Hey, so Jared, click on the next one. Click on abolition, abortion in Oklahoma. Put that one on there, Jared. Now, I want you guys, this is something, George. I want you guys to, I listened to this morning and smoke starts coming out my ears. First of all, there ought to be a citizenship. There ought to be a civics test before you can run for office. There ought to be a civics test. Not just let anybody run for office. We got idiots running for office. Jared, if you pull up that abortion in Oklahoma thing on the screen, I'm sorry, I'm losing my track here. Hundreds rally to, there it is. Thanks, Jared. Hundreds attend rally to ban abortion in Oklahoma. And there's Rusty Thomas right at the forefront. George, we can win there, brother. We can win in Oklahoma. But folks, listen.
Now, hundreds of demonstrators now left the Capitol.
I want you to listen to this 2 minutes. Listen to this 2 minutes of Jared, to this news clip, and listen to this doofus elected official come on and say, well, we can't do anything about it. It's the law of the land. Roe versus Wade, the law of the land. It said, but ain't no law. Go ahead, Jared.
Now, hundreds of demonstrators met at the Capitol demanding an end to abortions in Oklahoma. News 9's Aaron Brillbeck is covering the Capitol for us tonight. Aaron, update us.
Well, Kelly, the demonstrators say they are not pro-life. They say pro-lifers give too many concessions. These folks say they want a complete ban on abortion. A few hundred demonstrators packed the first floor of the state capitol, pushing for passage of Senate Bill 13, which would outlaw all abortions in the state of Oklahoma, even in cases of rape, incest, and if the mother's life or health are at risk.
As sinful as human slavery in America was, we are here to decry and call for an end to the mother of all injustices.
The idea that we need legislation to incrementally slow down abortion, or that we need legislation that keeps abortion safe and rare. No, 1,000 times no.
Amen.
We need legislation that abolishes abortion.
Pro-choice state representative Jason Dunnington says he doesn't think the bill stands a chance. He says it's unconstitutional.
I don't even look for it to be brought up as a bill on the House or Senate floor. It is something that has been decided. The U.S. Supreme Court has shown time and time again that they're upholding Roe v. Wade. And so for us, it is an unnecessary step.
Demonstrators say they don't think Roe v. Wade is constitutional, and they would like to see Oklahoma be the first state to outright ban abortion.
I started having dreams of babies being murdered right in front of me, and I would run to stand in the gap for them. I know that the Lord wanted to break my heart the same way his heart breaks for abortion. The Lord hates abortion.
Now, we were expecting some pro-choice demonstrators here, but we didn't see any today.
Senate
13 is in political limbo right now. It has to be assigned to a committee before it can be voted on, and that hasn't happened yet. We're live at the state capitol.
Aaron okay, Bulldog, Jared.
Oklahoma's own news.
The righteous are as bold as lions, and evil men flee when no one pursues. They were expecting some pro-abortion activists, but they didn't show up. Because why? Because the lion of the tribe of Judah is coming out of hiding. See, if we come out of hiding.
Amen, folks.
Slavery used to be settled law. So
That's right.
The whole entire civil rights movement was a waste of time.
Yeah, because it was settled law, right? See, that's that. But Roger, see, that onion has been pulled back, and people are now saying, "Oh, they're legalizing marijuana. They're killing babies late term over here." What is it? People kind of the left is doing whatever they want to do, and the right's following the law, except they don't know what the law is. See, so I don't mean to hammer this again. This is the issue of our life, of our generation right now, and we can do something about it.
Hey, Coach.
Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Vic.
Look, I was disappointed with a POTUS when he didn't go all the way out and say that we were going to just stop abortion, period. But I will endorse everything that he said. He is the revelation. He is the revealer. So all I got to say is that he came out, he laid the ground. Let's move. Let's do what we can and stop this.
Come on, goodness and mercy. Come on, goodness and mercy. Let's go.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Somebody else trying to get in.
Coach, I'm a firm believer that abortion in the nation is the pendulum of the swing. If this thing swings back, brother, everything's going to follow. When this giant goes down, all of them are going to begin to fall.
Yeah, but George, or Dale. Just what the Bible said is going to happen. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And there really isn't anything we can do about it because I don't know if you noticed, Jupiter's aligning with Mars and it's sort of looking like that over there in Israel. And I'm just going to hunker down in here and wait because Jesus is coming. That's the attitude, isn't it? How ridiculous. I think
go get a chainsaw and go cut a tree down, man.
That's what we're dealing with, man. It's what we're dealing with. What an exciting time to be alive. Hey, I got a couple minutes left. Does anybody want to hammer anything in here before I close it out? I've covered a lot of ground here today. Larry was saying something in my ear. What were you saying? Here comes Larry over here. Jump in.
I was going to say this settled law nonsense is nonsense. It used to be settled constitution that you couldn't buy alcohol in our country. If a constitution can be changed to correct itself, then these laws can be corrected.
Or these non-laws, right?
Yeah.
A settled law, really? Well, you know, we have a constitutional, in 2004 in Ohio, we passed a constitutional amendment that in Ohio, marriage is between a man and a woman. We have a constitutional amendment. And then what happened? Some terrorist in a black robe in Washington, D.C. says, no, that's unconstitutional. And we said, okay, we're sorry. Oh, my goodness. My goodness, the times in which we live, baby.
Coach, it's time to go ahead and correct all the wrong.
Hey,
just
Vic.
Just because it's been wrong for so long doesn't mean it's got to stay wrong. And we got to correct it. And
this
that's all.
Will be our finest hour. That's what I believe. I believe. And when the Lord returns and he splits the eastern sky, I want him to find me with a hammer in my hand. Building the
Amen.
Kingdom of God, not laying down supine, waiting for the rapture bus, a hammer in one hand and a knife in the other, fighting for the kingdom of God, expanding the kingdom of God. That ought to be the attitude of the church. Pray for
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
Pray for us, man. Got a big day ahead of us and got to get to work. God bless you. See you all tomorrow.